Well, this morning I'd like to continue our short series, just asking what it means that we are a Presbyterian church, and touching on some of the things that may be distinctive about us as a church. We've looked together at the importance of God's covenant. We've looked at what we believe the Bible teaches about elders to govern the church. We've considered the important things we believe about salvation, and the important truth that I want us to consider this morning is that we are a sacramental church. We are a sacramental church. We are a church that believes in the importance and the power of God's sacraments. One of the, I think, charming stories that's emerged over the last few weeks about our late Queen, Elizabeth II, was shared by a former Royal Protection Officer named Richard Griffin. He says that one day when the Queen was at Balmoral, just the two of them, the Queen and this Protection Officer, they were out hiking around the grounds, and they came across two American tourists who'd got lost hiking. And they didn't recognise the Queen. I guess, you know, with a hat on or something, just didn't know who she was. And so, you know, they said, "You know, where do you come from?" And she said, "London." And they said, "Is it true that the Queen lives nearby?" She says, "Yes, just over there, actually." And they said, "Have you ever met her?" And the Queen said, no, I've never met her. But he has, pointing to the police officer. And so they said, "Oh, really? Well, you know, what's she like?" And he said, "Oh, well, you know, she can be quite grumpy and cantankerous." And then these two guests wanted a picture with him because he'd met the Queen. And the Queen took the picture. And only when he insisted did they get a picture with her. And this police officer ended the story by saying, "Well, you know, apparently the Queen said she'd love to have been a fly on the wall when they got back to America and were sharing their pictures. And somebody would say, 'Hang on a minute, that's the Queen.'" It's a lovely story that showcases our late Queen had a sense of humour. And I guess this has been my one opportunity myself to share a kind of tribute of remembrance. But I thought of that story because in the passage you heard in Luke's Gospel, two disciples have a mysterious and wonderful encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. But they don't recognize him. They don't know him. Here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But they did not know who he was at first. In fact, the scripture says that they were kept from recognizing him by the power of God. It says their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And so they're lamenting to this stranger about their disappointment, their crushed hopes. They had thought maybe Jesus was the Christ, the promised Savior, and yet he had died. And now it was the third day. And then they've been thrown into this turmoil because the sisters, the women, have come and said that he's not there. And angels are saying he's alive. And they don't know what to make of it. But the Lord still doesn't reveal himself. And instead, he teaches them from the scriptures. He preaches to them. He expounds from all of the Old Testament as it was then, that these things were meant to be. As they're listening, they would later say, they felt their hearts burning. Power of the truth. And the Holy Spirit was working. And then they persuade him to stay with them for dinner. And it's then something wonderful again happens. He blesses the bread and he breaks it and he gives it to them. Words there that he did exactly the same thing that he'd done during the Last Supper when he'd given them the Lord's Supper. And then God opens their eyes. And in the breaking of that bread, it's revealed to them who they've been with this whole time. But then even more mysteriously, he vanishes. Now, we must be clear. This really was the risen Lord Jesus, bodily, The resurrected Lord. This was not some ghost or vision or imposter or some fairy tale story. The risen Lord Jesus was there with them, walking with them, talking with them. But this raises a lot of questions, doesn't it? There is mystery about this story, isn't there? Why does the Lord act this way? Why does he act in such a mysterious way with the disciples? Why is he hiding himself? You know, later on, of course, he appears to all the apostles and he openly reveals himself and speaks with them and everything, and he explains everything. But here, he deliberately hides himself. And it's important because obviously Luke's got it recorded here in the gospel for us. Why is it that he instead spends his time pointing them to the scriptures and to the breaking of bread and that then they know him? Why such a mysterious way? Well, the answer is the Lord was teaching them and all of us and the whole church. He's teaching us how he is going to be with his people even after the resurrection and even after his ascension. When he's going to bodily return to ascend to the glory of God above. And there he is right now at this moment. But he's saying there's still these ways he's going to come to us as his people. And we will know him. He will reveal himself and his presence be with us. How we can still enjoy communion with him. How he's still going to lead us, help us, empower us. Even though he's physically in heaven. He's going to be with us, come to us through the scriptures and the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. They are the outward means, the tools, the instruments he's going to use to communicate himself to his people, even from heaven. This is why the Lord acted the way he did here. There was this all important lesson that the disciples needed to grasp, how he would still be with us. They should look to these means. The ministry of the scriptures and the Lord's Supper are just two of what we call the means of grace. The means of grace is the term that we use to describe the gifts, the instruments that Christ has given us by which he continues to minister to us. He continues to minister to us from heaven. And as well as the Lord's Supper and the ministry of God's word, there is baptism and there is prayer. They're the channels through which the Lord's presence will still come, and he promises to bless us through them. Now, of course, he can go above and beyond all means. He is the Lord, but ordinarily, this is where we should look. This is what we should come to if we want to be meeting with the Lord Jesus and growing in grace and growing as Christians. Through these gracious gifts. Some of you know, I've probably mentioned quite a few times, some of my family lives in Australia. And my children have never met them in person, bodily, face to face, in the flesh. But they know they're real because they've given them some lovely gifts. When they were all born, they were all given a teddy bear of an Australian animal, a duck-billed platypus and a Tasmanian devil and things like that. And they've seen the pictures and they know them and they know their love through the gifts that have been given. But in a far greater way, through these gifts, our Lord Jesus comes to us, shows us his love, shares it with us. If you are seeking for God, here's where to come. Not out there. Don't go looking out there for some big dramatic sign, lightning in heaven or something like that. Don't look in here for some kind of mystical experience. You look here. The means that Jesus says, here's where I will speak to you and you can find me. Here's where his presence will be. Now, amongst these means of grace, there are two in particular that are very special that we call the sacraments. There's baptism in water and the Lord's Supper. And these two are in this special category of sacraments because they are also special, visible, tangible signs of God's grace. We can see them. We can feel them. We can hold them to help us trust in the invisible things of God that we cannot see. Now, in our confession, which is, again, we looked at a few weeks ago, as Presbyterians, we call the sacraments signs and seals of God's covenant. Signs and seals of our covenant with God. And we believe the right way to understand the sacraments is in relation to God's covenant. You've got to understand God's covenant to really understand the sacraments. So you remember we saw a few weeks ago, we believe that fundamentally as a Christian, your relationship with God is that you're in a covenant with him through Jesus Christ. A covenant in which God promises he will be your God. He will love you. He will save you. He will provide for you. He'll be with you. And then in response, our part in faith and in repentance is we will be his people. We will love him and worship him. We will serve and follow him. We will obey him and be with him. And that is our relationship with him. And now the sacraments are first visibly signs, that pictures that represent what God promises in that covenant. You could say that they are visual promises, if that makes sense. Promises not just in words, but in these visual signs. The Lord isn't just giving the gospel to us in words. He gives it to us in these visible signs. Lots of folks say, you know, I'm a visual learner. Well, the Lord says, well, look here then. Look at this sign. Because here is what I promise you. In my covenant, in the gospel. For example, in the sacrament of baptism, the washing with water, the Lord promises in the gospel to wash and cleanse us from sin. As his people, that's his promise to save us. He'll wash us clean from our sins. That he promises it to those who believe. His promise is he pours out his spirit upon his people to empower us and to make us holy. So in baptism, God is saying those things to his church. God is showing them in this sign of what he promises to be as our God. But then we also say that the sacraments are seals of our covenant with God. They confirm our covenant. They reassure us of the covenant. In the sacraments, we are affirming, and more importantly, God is affirming this special relationship we have with him. A bit like putting a stamp and a seal on it, that it's real and true. His covenant stands firm and we're in it. So, for example, when we come to the Lord's table and we receive the bread and wine, what is the Lord saying? He says we're welcome at his table. That he recognizes us as his children. That we have that special privilege of accessing grace to come to him. That we're accepted and have peace with God. You break bread, in ancient ways of thinking, with those you're at peace with. That's what God is saying to us. And in giving us this bread and wine, he's confirming it. It's a source of assurance to us as Christians. When you come and receive the supper with faith, the Lord's saying, you are mine. You are my family. I have redeemed you through Christ. You're mine. That's one of the very important reasons that in a Presbyterian church, which might be different from other traditions you may have come from, we believe in guarding the table. The elders of the church have a responsibility to make sure the Lord's Supper is only administered to Christians, because it's only for the family. You're in the covenant. And even that there could be a form of discipline. Someone's breaking the bounds of the covenant, not living as a Christian should. There can be discipline that you withhold the Lord's Supper in the hope that that will spark repentance in a Christian, that they'll come back to what they should be doing. But now we come to the really wonderful, comforting truths about these things. The most wonderful thing of all is we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly present with us. As we come to the means of grace, as we come to the sacraments, we believe he's here. And we believe that he's powerfully at work to refresh us in our hearts, to spiritually renew us, that there is a life-giving power that comes to us through the means of grace and the sacraments. And again, this is where we will be different from perhaps some traditions some of us may come from. We believe that there's a vivifying power. God is going to really do something when we share in these sacraments. Now, the key truth that we've really got to grasp is it's about the power of the Holy Spirit. The power is not in the signs themselves. It's water. It's bread. The power is in the Holy Spirit. But he works with and through the sacraments when we share in them rightly. And it's his power that makes them so special. When we're coming in faith and sharing in them, he's going to strengthen our faith. He's conveying to us the invisible realities of Christ and will make it so real to us. He's applying the benefits of Christ, what we're given in salvation, to us through these ordinary mundane things. If you want to think about it this way, we eat food normally to give energy for our bodies physically. When we come to the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit, and this is the language coming out of Scripture that we hear as strong as this, the Holy Spirit is feeding us spiritually. By faith, we are saying yes to Jesus and receiving him. And we are feeding upon our Lord Jesus, drawing upon the grace that's in him. And he is powerfully going to be strengthening and renewing us in our spirits, in our hearts. Perhaps it might be helpful just to compare how Presbyterians think about this differently compared to some other traditions. What we're trying to say is that there's two parts to a sacrament. You've got the sign, you've got the real tangible thing in front of you, that's the picture of the second part, which is the invisible spiritual reality of our Lord Jesus in heaven and the grace of God and the power of God. And you've got these two things. Now, as a comparison, in the Roman Catholic tradition, these two things get collapsed together. And they would say that the bread in what they would call the Mass literally becomes the body of Jesus. Even though it still looks like bread, they would say that its substance really becomes Jesus. But you see what they've done is the reality of Christ and the sign, they just kind of got as if they're just one. But then as a contrast on the other end, probably the majority evangelical kind of position in a lot of independent churches today would say that the two things are really completely separate. And so you come to the sacrament and the sign, and it's just about stirring up your memory. It's a remembering of Christ, but not necessarily that there's real spiritual life and power coming to us from Christ. Now, the Presbyterian, the Reformed, and I'd argue the biblical position is we don't collapse the two, but neither are they separate. It means that God has said through this, he will convey to us the spiritual reality and power of Christ our Lord. And it's the Holy Spirit who will be at work through these means. When we use the words from Scripture the Lord has given us, instituting the supper, when we come with faith, believing and receiving, his promise is that through the means to help us, the Holy Spirit is really at work in our hearts, uniting us to Jesus in heaven. I mean, it's a miracle. It's a wondrous gift of God. The Lord really does share himself with us through these gifts. It's truly present. They're not just empty signs. They are truly life-giving to a Christian soul. Life-giving power through the Holy Spirit to sustain us. to help us grow. Not just a memory, but the Lord of heaven and earth through his Spirit is here. One of the greatest comforts that we have, and I know there's many trials that some of us are going through, but one of the greatest comforts we have is the Lord's promise. He's with us. He says, I am with you, Christian. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The sacraments are visible signs and seals of that truth, of that promise. He is as near to you, Christian, as the bread you're about to eat. He is as near to you, Christian, as that wine you're about to drink. That's how real it is. There's the seasons of trials and sufferings that come upon Christians. And actually, surprisingly, sometimes the Lord will then feel very far away. You'll feel far away sometimes. And they mount up and you don't have a sense of his presence. And you'll be praying, why am I in this distress, Lord? How long? Where are you, Lord? This is a powerful help he's given us for those moments. And he says, here I am. I'm right here. I'm right here with you. Even if you're struggling to see it and know it and feel it, you come here to my table. You see how that's helping us? I'm right here, Christian. And the sacrament is showing it to you when faith is weak. When it's hard to grasp hold of the invisible, he gives you something visible you can hold on to. If there's a brother or sister here today and you're just feeling overwhelmed, receive this gift of your Savior today. Receive the strength he wants to give you through this supper. Hear him saying, welcome to my table, I'm with you. The one who loves you so much that he gave his body and blood for you. When you have doubts and fears, when you are troubled by all your sins and the devil is accusing you, driving a wedge between you and God, trying to rob you of your joy as a Christian. Again, think about this. Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. What did God promise you when you were baptized? That in Christ, he washes you and you are cleansed. Well, think of it this way. When our Lord Jesus was baptized, he was given that revelation from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In your baptism, you are joined to him. And that same word and delight of God, that same acceptance is spoken of you. Because you're in Jesus. You are my beloved child. I'm well pleased. Thanks to Christ. But it's God's promise to you, Christian. And he's done it in baptism. He set that as a seal. That's how real it is. Martin Luther, the great reformer, you know that he suffered from many serious bouts of depression, anxiety, and of temptations, really, and attacks of the devil. And he shares in some of his writings, he would drive away that darkness with his faith, and he would sometimes shout at the devil, get away, for I am baptized. Now, he understood what God's given us in baptism. And now, how many Christians today would appeal to their baptism with times of temptations and doubts? We've got so much to learn from the church in the past. They valued the sacraments so much more than we do today. Much of the Reformation was really a battle to get the sacraments right again for the church because it had gone wrong. But you know, you can do that as a Christian when you're under attack and assault, when your faith needs help, when you're tempted or you're dragged down by past sins, you say, away from me, I am baptized. God has promised in the gospel to wash and cleanse me. They have great life-giving power. How greatly we should cherish, value these gifts from God and look to meet with our Savior through them. So there is one final challenge that I want to leave you with, deliberately leave you with a challenge. In the over 25 years that I've had the privilege of preaching, I have seen without a doubt, again and again, those who faithfully attend the means of grace, those who are faithful to come to these means God has given, who make them important, they not just are the ones who persevere, but they thrive as Christians. The ones who come and value them and in faith receive them, the ministry of the word, the Lord's Supper, they thrive as Christians because they're receiving the life and benefits of Christ through them. And yet those who neglect them, they quickly run dry as Christians. They do get worn out. And sadly, some fall away. I would put it as strongly as this, brothers and sisters. A Christian needs these means of grace like a plant needs air and sunlight and water. So a Christian needs baptism, scripture, the Lord's Supper, and prayer. They're vital for the Christian life. And so they're at the heart of church life. Again, there's so much pragmatism today. What should a church be doing to seek God or to draw people? Well, actually, it's very simple. The Lord says, you baptize disciples, you teach the scriptures, you share in the Lord's Supper, and you pray. And the Holy Spirit will work through these means. And through them, our hearts can be set on fire. Let me bring you back at the end to the scripture. Even though they didn't fully understand yet, as our Lord was ministering the word to the disciples, their hearts burned. What does that say? The Holy Spirit was at work within them, stirring them up, teaching them, growing them. And then in the breaking of the bread, they knew him. What a powerful little phrase that is, to know him. Not just a bare recognition, but they knew him. They knew their beloved Savior who loved them, died and risen, victorious and glorious, their Savior. They knew him. And so as we come, whenever we come, let our prayer be that God will open our eyes, that we'll have the faith to see him, to know him in these precious gifts. So we are a sacramental church. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. O gracious Lord and Father, we thank you that our Saviour is not far off, but that your Holy Spirit is with us. And we thank you for giving us these precious gifts by which you come to us and minister to us. We confess, Father, how weak we often are, how our faith can be fragile. And sometimes, Lord, we struggle to find you, walk with you as we should. So we thank you for giving us these precious gifts to assure us, to speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful to your covenant, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You assure us of your love for us, that your love is so great, the Savior even died for us. Please, Lord, teach us to value the means of grace. Please open our eyes, O Lord, to truly see you and know you through them. And even, Lord, as we prepare to come to your table together, we thank you for this great privilege. We pray that our hearts would be on fire within us. We pray that we would always value the blessing it is. And we do ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts. For Jesus' sake. Amen.